I would like to introduce to you this morning. I know her. I've been so nervous the whole morning because I was so scared I'm going to make the following mistake. I was so scared I'm going to say, Picky, you can come forward. I know her as Picky. Her sister and I are best friends, so I've known her and her family for quite a few years. But I just would like to introduce her to you. She's Ilse Roo, and she was a teacher. I got to know her as a student who studies to become a biology teacher. And she was that for quite a few years. And then God spoke to her, and I'm paraphrasing now, but God spoke to her and said, I didn't call you to do that. I called you to prepare daughters to get married and prepare my bride. And she just started this small business, Ilse Roo Bridal Wear, and God just challenged her on so many levels. And I'm just not going to tell her whole history now this morning, but she's won numerous awards as a Wedding Dress Designer of the Year. She has won, I remember that one year, Best Website of the Year. And she has received it just because of her obedience of Christ. Whenever God spoke to her, she just said, this is hard, but I'll do it. This is hard, but I'll do it. She really has a heart for people, a heart for God, and a heart to build the local church. So we welcome you here this morning, Picky. May you have a wonderful time here with us.
Thank you. I feel so much at home. I studied at Stellenbosch as well, so I'm an old Marty. And thank you for the praise and worship this morning. It was really a blessing to me. And I'm going to spoke on the power of worship, the power of worship, what happens when we start worshiping God for who He is and what He can do. There's a scripture in Luke 19, verse 37 to 40 that says, as He was approaching the city at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to rejoice and praise the Lord loudly. They started praising the Lord loudly, not quietly, not by themselves, loudly. They started praising Him for all the mighty miracles and the works of power that they had witnessed. They have seen, they have experienced, and therefore they are so grateful and they want to worship Him, crying out, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And then some of the Pharisees from the throng said to Jesus, teacher, reprove these disciples. Speak to them, please. They are making a spectacle of themselves. Have you ever heard that? When you praise the Lord? Have you ever heard that somebody says, this looks like a circus? This looks like a concert. Oh no, this can't be really church. Do you mean want to do everything like that? Go out wild? Really? And Jesus replied, He said, I tell you, if these keep quiet, the stones that you are stepping on, the stones that you are standing on, the cold, dead stones, they will cry it out. So thank you for worshiping this morning, because the Lord just loves worship. The spirit of religion will always try to hinder or interfere with your worship. It will try to hold you back. It will try to restrict you. So whenever you are singing a song, for instance, I lift my hands to the coming King, and you are singing, I lift my hands to the coming King, but there's no hands lifting, you can know it's the spirit of religion. Maybe you come from a background as I do, where the spirit of religion was restricting me for so long, but after I've seen and after I've witnessed what the Lord can do, He has released me. And the moment that my hand goes above my head, everything changes. It's not my mind anymore. I'm reaching out to the God that first reached out to me. The spirit of religion will tell you lies of ways to worship. It wants to keep you in bondage and in fear and out of the fullness. Psalm 150, David was a worshiper. He was a shepherd that worshiped the Lord in the field. And the Lord did miracles. He overcame a bear and He overcame a lion. He knew the strength of the Lord. And he wrote all the Psalms, and one of, in particular, Psalm 156, talks about seven different instruments that you can worship the Lord me. Not just the organ. That you can dance and make a loud noise in front of the Lord. And he is so pleased when we go all out. When you start singing and praising the Lord, and you mean what you say, and you, when you act on what you say, it is believable. When you act on what you say, because there's power in our words. Who should worship and how should we worship? David wrote in Psalm 98, verse 4, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Noise. Loud. All the earth. All the earth. The heavens, the mountains, the hills, the grass, the trees, the birds, all that have breath. Praise the Lord. Laat alles wat asem het, die Here loof. Break forth and sing for joy. Yes, sing praises. Praise Him for who He is and praise Him for what He is able to do. Let the rivers clap their hands. Amazing, huh? Let the rivers clap their hands. Together let the hills sing of joy. And then Psalm 33, verse 3 said, sing a new song. With great enthusiasm and without holding anything back. Without holding anything back. It is absolutely impossible to worship the Lord in a proper manner and stressing, worrying at the same time. It's just not possible. Because when you enter into worship with a sincere intent, you open yourself up to Him. You're vulnerable in God's presence. I know that because of people's past, some people are not comfortable opening themselves up to anybody or anything. But once you start knowing God, you start knowing who He is, it becomes easier to open yourself up, to be vulnerable in His presence and to worship Him for who He is. Because things happen while you are worshiping. While you are worshiping, God can change the way that you think. God can change the way that we speak. While you are worshiping, God can change the way that you perceive things while you are worshiping, so that you can grow in order to be a solution to a problem. Psalm 149, verse 6 says, let the high praises of God be in their throats. The high praises of God be in their throats, where the vocal cords are. Vocal cords to make a noise, to sing. To sing and to speak. You can speak His praises or you can sing His praises. And a two-edged sword in His hand. Sounds like worship is spiritual warfare. But remember, the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle always belongs to the Lord. So when you enter into worship, you are saying, Lord, I'm giving this battle, this thing that I'm worrying about, this thing that I'm stressing so much about, whether it's your health or your finances or a relationship, a troublesome relationship, Lord, I'm handing this over to You because the battle belongs to You. So in worship, you become free of stress. Your stress levels comes down when you worship properly. Our world really needs more worship. The result of worship in Psalms 5 verse 11. But let all those who take refuge and put their trust in You rejoice. Let them ever sing and shout for joy. Sing and shout for joy. Because listen here. You make a covering over them. While you are worshiping, the Lord says He is making a covering over you. Almost like a shield. That will protect you. And He says, and He will defend them. Let those also who love Your name be joyful and You and be high in spirit. Which means the heaviness, depression will lift because you will come high in spirit. Heaviness will lift. Psalm 100 verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. When you worship, you enter into a new dimension. When you worship, you enter into new possibilities. When you worship, you enter into new solutions. You enter into a new way of thinking, a new way of speaking, a new way of submitting yourself unto God. When you worship, you enter into a brand new dimension. But the challenge is to worship God in the midst of very difficult situations. It's somehow easy to worship God after you've seen the miracles, or you see a breakthrough. It's easy to worship the Lord because the gratefulness is just there in your heart. But when the road becomes tough and there's sudden, unexpected, and undeserved challenges in your way, that's when it becomes extremely difficult to worship the Lord. John 16, verse 33, the Lord says, "There will be hardship in this world, but remember, I have overcome the world." I'm just going to open a scripture here and read it to you. "In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration." The Lord says, you will be frustrated with this world. "But be of good cheer. Take courage, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of the power to harm you." So the Lord says, even though you are in difficult situations, even though things look bad all around you, I have overcome it. I will not let it harm you. I've deprived it of the power to harm you. I have conquered it all for you. Also, John 15, where the Lord says, "I am the true vine and you are the branches." He says that even if you bear fruit, he will prune you so that you will bear more fruit. So none of us can escape the pruning. There will be difficulty in our lives. The past 2 weeks, the Lord just unlocked the scripture in Habakkuk. Habakkuk 3, verse 17 to 19. And we're going to talk about these three verses for the rest of the sermon. I've sung this song in the Dutch Reformed Church so many times. Al sou die vyeboom nie bot nie, al sou die wingerde geen vrug dra nie, nogtans sal ek in die Here jubel. And it's amazing, yeah, what the Lord has unlocked. So let's read through there. "Though the fig tree does not blossom, and there is no fruit on the vines, though the product of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord." If you look at this at first glance, it looked like provision that's not there. Different kinds of provision that suddenly, unexpectedly, undeservingly, it's just not there. I'm going to walk you through each of these lines. "Though the fig tree does not blossom," the Afrikaans version says, "al sou die vyeboom nie bot nie," which means even if there's not a leaf, even if there's not a sign of life, Lord, I will worship you. If something doesn't blossom, it means there's no flower to produce fruit. If there's no leaves, it means you don't know if it's alive on the inside or not. It seems like life is locked up on the inside. Maybe you're in a situation with your health or your finances or a relationship that looks dead. It looks lifeless. There's no sign of life in it. "And there is no fruit on the vines." No fruit on the vines? It seems like the vines has got leaves. There's leaves. So it looks alive, but it does not bear any fruit. There are no fruit in the vines. "That the product of the olive fails," the Afrikaans says, "al sou die olyf oes misluk." So talking about a harvest, a oes, which means a lot of time and effort was invested. There's leaves, which make it seem like it's alive. There's fruit, an expectancy of a harvest to come. And then all of a sudden, there's no harvest. It could be that insects ate up the harvest. It could be that the hail damaged the harvest. It could be a heat wave. Something just took the harvest away. Think about someone that made provision for retirement. They made provision for retirement and it was there. But once they reached retirement, it was so little, they couldn't live on it. So it's just gone. It's just not there anymore. And the fields yield no food. Fields, lots of opportunity. Lots of labor went into lots of fields. But it yields no food. Nothing that can feed or sustain you. If you look at these first four, you'll remember that in the New Testament, Jesus also compared us to plants. And he said that we must bear much fruit. So even if you are a parent investing in your children, or if you are a teacher investing in your students, or if you are a pastor or a minister and you are investing in your church, look at these first four as if they are people. Though the fig tree does not blossom, if a person's spiritual life looks dead, doesn't seem there's any life there, you can't see a sign of life, still I will rejoice in the Lord. If there is no fruit on the vines, it looks like the spiritual life is alive, but you can't see the fruit of the Spirit. You can't see joy. You can't see peace. You can't see faithfulness. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Though the product of the olive fails, if there will be no harvest, you put in so many hours, resources of yourself in a person, like a parent, for instance, in a child, and somewhere along the line, the child makes decisions, life decisions, that completely baffles you. So there's no harvest. There was an expectancy, but nothing to get from it. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And the fields yield no food. You labor for many, many years in different areas, and yet you don't see anything coming back. You don't see the results in your lifetime, maybe, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. The last two is talking about the animals. Though the flock is cut off from the fold, I better understand this in Afrikaans, where it says, Al sou daar geen klein vee in die kampe meer wees nie, which means it was there. It was there a while ago, but suddenly it's just gone. It's not there anymore. You cannot, jy kan nie meer op staat maak nie. It's just gone. You cannot depend on it. Thank you. And there are no cattle in the stalls. So no goat or sheep and no cattle. All these animals were used for either milk or for their skin or to produce meat. So they were so dependent on these animals for their livelihood. So they cannot, hulle kan nie hulle eie lewensbehoeftes voorsiening maak nie. So the resources is just absolutely gone. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Habakkuk 3 verse 18 says, He chose to act differently. Whatever the circumstances is, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice as is a choice. In the same way that forgiveness is a choice. You do not forgive because you feel like it, or you don't forgive because you don't feel like it. Forgiveness is a choice. Whether the person deserves it or not, whether the person asks for it or not, you become free when you forgive someone else. In the same way that prayer is a choice and love is a choice, in the same way your praise and your worship is a choice, the attitude with which you enter into your praise is a choice. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the victorious God of my salvation. In the Lord. In the Lord. Can you hear? It sounds like John 15, where the Lord has a promise. He says, if you live in me and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts. Can you see the unity there? I in him, He in me, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Because when I am in him, I know his heart. When he is in me, he is investing in me. I'm hosting his spirit in me. Habakkuk 3, verse 19. He chooses to rejoice because the Lord God is my strength. The Afrikaans version says, Die Here my God gee my krag. The Lord doesn't only give you strength, he is the strength. Because if he is in me and I am in him, then the strength that he is already inside of me. And my personal bravery and my invincible army. Hy is soos 'n onoorwinnelike weermag binne in my. How awesome to wake up each morning and to say, Lord, thank you that you are my strength, that you are my personal bravery, and that you are the invincible army inside of me. Amazing. Just a new mindset to wake up with each morning. My personal bravery. He is the one that makes me brave from the inside so that I can act differently in difficult situations. I can act different than what the world would do. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. When I enter into worship, I don't have to do anything. I hand it to the Lord, and he defends me. He protects me, and he makes my feet. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. Can you see? He changes the way that I move forward. He causes an adaption to happen. Difficult circumstances. I'm just going to read a few examples. If someone loses work, he loses income. It's sudden, it's unexpected, and it's undeserved. If someone is diagnosed with a terrible disease, it's a loss of health. If a husband has an affair, there's a loss of trust. If someone is disabled after an accident, it's a loss of movement and independency. If you're saved for a pension fund and it's not enough, it's loss of resources. You try to save for your kids' studies, but suddenly there's not enough. You invest the time and effort and resources in your child, and your child makes strange decisions, so that does not have the desired outcome. Your best friend backstabs you, loss of trust. Your business loses a contract that you invested in. You lose a desired outcome, and you lose income. The loss of a life partner or a friend. The loss of a child. Difficult things that can happen suddenly without you asking for it, without you deserving it. Unexpectedly, you cannot prepare for it. Suddenly, it comes your way. How do we handle these changes that are suddenly, that you cannot prepare for? It's so important to recognize your emotions. The emotions that you go through are real and they are valid. It is natural to feel discouraged, to feel overwhelmed, to feel afraid, to feel shocked, devastated, because you cannot see the outcome already. But God knows the solution to every situation. It's extremely important to acknowledge the new situation. Also acknowledge to God that you do not have all the answers. Do not go into self-pity or depression. Just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I do not have the answers. Please help me. And I choose to worship you for who you are and what you can do in me. So you can melt eintlik aan and say, Lord, I'm ready so that you can change me, so that I can adapt for this new situation. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk and make spiritual progress upon high places. High places, places of trouble, financial trouble, suffering, like with your health, or great responsibility. If you are a manager in a company, you have lots of responsibility. A lot of people depend on you. A lot of the choices that you make will influence other people and the company. Hoogste bome vang die meeste wind. You are very, very vulnerable where you are. He will make me to walk, not sit, not lay down, not sleep. He will make me to walk. And normally we walk forward, not backwards. So you will make progress. And by walking, by moving, you will move away from something towards something else. So you will leave something behind and you will move into a different direction. In a difficult situation, you take one day at a time. One day at a time. It is impossible for us to know all the answers. But we serve an extremely creative God. And our God has the answers for every single situation. We must just trust Him enough. God has answers that you don't know about. But if you do not come to Him or do not trust Him, you will never find out what those answers are. He has solutions that you don't know about. He will be able to adapt you in such a way that it brings honor to Him and it could bring a testimony. You have to go through the test in order to have a testimony. Last year during Women's Day, I shared quite a few of our testimonies with the woman that was there. You have to go through a test. So every difficult situation has a testimony locked up inside of it. Locked up inside of it. And God has got the keys. The terrain has changed into a very steep and dangerous mountain. Nobody chooses to go onto a high mountain where it's dangerous, where you can slip, where you can fall. Nobody chooses to go there. He makes my feet like the hind's feet. He enables me to adapt into a new dimension never seen before. God does not have to use the same solution for everybody that is in the same kind of situation that you are. He is very creative. He is the great creator God. If you look at nature, you see there's lots of different animals with different kinds of adaptions, lots of different flowers and trees and plants. God is extremely creative. He gives me an advantage that I did not have before. God can adapt you so that you have an advantage that you did not have before, so you grow in a different direction. Worship enables God to change me. You will move on this new territory for a while before you realize that the change has happened. Usually, you won't see the change happen immediately. But after a while, after you've stepped in this new dimension for a while, people will be able to see the changes. You will not slip or fall. There will be no fear, no stress, no self-pity, no rejection, no worrying, no hopelessness, no depression. I want to show you these pictures of the Sandingo Dam. It's in California. You can see the dam and the dam wall. Now, they've got a kind of goat there, which is called the ibex. If you enlarge the wall of the dam, I think it's the previous slide. The previous one? Yeah. There's the dam with the dam wall. If you enlarge the dam wall, you see little specks there. If you enlarge the little specks, you see goats there. How on earth can anything walk there? It's so steep. It's so dangerous. But their food is there. So they climb up there very easily because they lick all the salts from the rocks and the lichens that grows there. So these goats graze there. They go there voluntarily. It's very much the same kind of deer. The rebok, the deer, it's very kind, same kind of thing. During my investigation, I saw that hind, like the hind's feet, he will change my feet to hind's feet, Apparently a hind is a female deer. I don't know why. But the Lord is incredible with detail. On this Women's Day, a hind is a female deer. I don't know if a female deer walks differently than a male deer. I don't know. But he makes my feet like a hind's feet. He enables me to walk in difficult, dangerous territory that comes across so suddenly, unexpectedly, that I could not prepare for. And he changes me in order to move there and to make spiritual progress. This was just incredible. It almost looks like he's stuck there, hey? God is always calling us to higher levels of obedience, of intimacy with him. Higher levels of trust and gratefulness, faith and commitment. Chronicles 16 verse 19 says, "For the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are blameless towards him." Die Afrikaanse weergawe van 2 Kronieke 16 vers 9 sê, "Die Here het sy oë oral op die aarde om die te help wat met hulle hele hart op hom vertrou." To trust him wholeheartedly. He's looking. His eyes are going to and fro and see who is trusting me today. Who is trusting me enough so that I can help him. Amazing, amazing that the Lord says, "I want to help you. Just come to me. I've got a solution that you don't know about." And speaking of all these difficult circumstances, it might be that you are not going through something like this at the moment, but you might know of someone else that's going through something like this. Worship God for who he is and what he can do. I would love to challenge you to lose yourself in worship. Your stress levels will be lower. You focus on who he is and he will pour out more of himself. If you stay in him, you submit to him. It's a complete surrender. When you come into God's presence, you become vulnerable before him, and worship becomes intimacy. It's relationship. And Satan is so jealous of this relationship because he had it when he was in heaven. But once he was kicked out, he doesn't have relationship anymore. So he will always try to destroy any kind of relationship, whether it's a parent-child relationship, whether it's a husband-wife relationship, whether it's family relationship, friend relationship, relationships at work. Satan is so jealous on any kind of relationship that he would love to destroy it. He makes my feet like hind's feet. If he can do this for the way that I move forward, he can change the way that I speak, the way that I think, the way that I perceive my environment. He can change my problem-solving skills. And he can change the way that I act in relationships. And then John 14, verse 15 and 21, God reveals himself to those who love him and obey his commandments. Who doesn't want that? He says he reveals himself to those who love him. If you love him, you will enter into intimacy with the Lord. And you will obey his commandments. And for that, you'll have to read the word to say, to know the commandments and to know what are the tasks, what are the expectations that God have, what should you obey. I'm ending with the last slide. New life comes from the inside. It's a choice. If an egg is broken by outside force, life ends. If broken by an inside force, life begins. Great things always begin from the inside. Great things always begins from the inside. Later on, you'll see it on the outside, but it starts and it originates on the inside. Your courage, your bravery, your strength comes from the inside. The decisions that you make, whether it's difficult situations, whether it's easy situations, everything starts on the inside. Kom ons maak ons oë toe. Let's speak to the Lord. Thank you, God, that you are a sovereign God, that you are holy, that you are the Alpha and the Omega. Thank you, Lord, that you go before us And even in the midst of very difficult situations that is unexpected and undeserved, Lord, thank you that you have solutions that we don't know about. Thank you that you can change us while we worship. Thank you for the power that is locked up in worship, Lord. I pray for every person that's here that you will draw them into your presence, unlock more of your blessings over them, Lord. Whatever the situation they are in at the moment, I pray that you will release more and more of your character, Lord, more and more of who you are. I pray that your word will become so alive when they read it. We love you, we honor you, we want to glorify your name. There's none like you, Lord. Amen.